special guest, senior correspondent at Business Insider. Listen to this. What a Fed rate hike means for you, for me, for all of us. Get ready to pay more. Pedro Da Costa, senior correspondent, as I said, from Business Insider, joining Dan and myself right now. Pedro, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Pedro. Pedro, what does this all mean for us? I mean, we read in the paper or we hear in the news about the Fed breaking its, raising its height, its rates, but how does that translate to the individual?
Well, for most people, you know, we are a credit economy, so, you know, interest rates do matter for a lot of people. It affects the cost of borrowing for a home and then for a car and for student loans and everything else. As you know, credit card rates are a little less tethered to reality and tend to fluctuate more wildly. But I think the mortgage market is the one that is most affected. And in fact, if you look at mortgage rates, they've already been creeping higher in anticipation of this tighter Fed monetary policy. So basically, it means that the Fed is sufficiently confident that the economy is strong that it can begin to take away some of the stimulus that it had there during this very weak recovery that we had.
Is there any way that it seems we can never get an idea when they do this, how much it's going to cost us?
Well, you know, if you look at the way mortgage rates have already moved higher, it's pretty substantial. If you look at the 30-year mortgage rate is now at 4.25%, when a year ago it was barely at 3.5, 3.75. So that's a pretty substantial increase in cost for the average consumer. And the other issue is what it does to the investment decisions of businesses. Now, if it's just one interest rate hike and a quarter point, it probably won't do very much. But if there's the expectation that that interest rates will move significantly higher, then businesses could start to think twice about investing and hiring and so on.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we're talking with Pedro Da Costa, senior correspondent at Business Insider, our guest and our Touch Points Rehab interview chair. The fact, Pedro, that there seems to be an indication this could be the first of several rate hikes, right?
That's right. You know, the Fed has sent false alarms or false signals before. So you have to keep that in mind. Last year, the Fed started off the year thinking it was going to raise interest rates as many as four times, and it was barely able to get one off at the end of the very last meeting of the year because the economy didn't cooperate. And so now there's the expectation that growth will remain stable and that maybe Trump is going to implement some pro-growth policies. But, of course, those policies, as we've seen with Trump care, are still very much ideas rather than concrete, plans of action. And so it remains to be seen how the implementation of those plans affects the path of the economy, and that'll dictate just how fast the Fed moves. But yeah, as you mentioned, their intention does seem to be to continue raising them gradually, maybe at every other meeting or something like that.
Pedro, one of the things, though, and we just had our secretary here in Connecticut, Trump already evidently is having an impact as far as costs are concerned. I mean, we're making more money, our state is right now, and we had the Democrat who was head of our Treasury make that statement the other day and gave credit to Donald Trump.
Yeah, she was talking about the investment in pension funds and how it's generated nearly $1 billion more than expected since Trump was elected because the investments are doing so well, Pedro.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you have to, you know, you can't deny that there's been a massive run-up in the stock market, which has benefited investments across the board, and that, of course, lifts 401ks. It benefits, you know, everyone who holds these kinds of investments, including the pension funds you mentioned. The concern is how quickly and how far that rally has come and whether it's sustainable. And as I mentioned, it all hinges on the timing and the implementation of the expected Trump policies. In particular, I would mention two, which are tax reform and the proposed fiscal stimulus or infrastructure plan. A lot of the stock market gains have been predicated on that happening in a fairly timely manner, perhaps toward the end of the year, early next year. And if it doesn't, then you could see the stock market give back some of those gains, and maybe Connecticut's coffers won't be quite so full at that point.
Yeah, it really is a juggling act in a way. And now, when was the Fed going to meet again?
The Fed's next meeting is in May, and people don't quite expect it to move then, since it just moved in March. But perhaps the next expected move is in June, and they'll continue to keep an eye on the same economic data they usually do, which includes employment, GDP, inflation. But there are some concerns that GDP is not strong enough to sustain really a strong jobs boom. So again, the outlook really hinges on the positive feelings and expectations about the future and how long those last.
What is your particular, because you're in the business, what is your gut feeling?
Well, my gut feeling is that there's been a little too much optimism built in. The markets have priced in all of the good things that they expect from Trump and none of the bad stuff, because the market does have many concerns with Donald Trump, including things like the uncertainty that his unusual presidential style brings, and the foreign policy uncertainty. For instance, overnight you had a new international incident with an ally because Sean Spicer out of the White House podium accused the British intelligence agency of somehow being involved in Obama's in the unfounded allegations of Obama's wiretapping of Donald Trump. And so then the White House now has to apologize to Britain. And we've already had these kinds of spats with Australia and different allies. So the foreign policy stuff is scary to Wall Street because it's destabilizing. And the other part of the Trump agenda that is seen as anti-market or anti-business is his aversion to international trade, his desire to – he's already pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which was – long fought over several years with 12 different among 12 different nations. He's going to pull out of NAFTA, and so there's a worry that this kind of aggressive rhetoric could spark trade wars that would be very damaging to the economy.
Well, it's all very fascinating, and obviously we'll have to keep a close eye on this. But again, it goes back to how it affects each and every one of us who want loans, small business loans, mortgages, credit card debt, all of that, Pedro.
That's right, and jobs, too.
Yeah, jobs, too, yeah. That.
Pedro, thank you so much for being with us. We like to keep our audience informed on all this stuff, and there's so much of it. There's just, you can't keep up with it. But thanks a million, and have yourself a good weekend.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care. You bet.